with that in mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read together. You follow along as I read the first five verses of 2 Corinthians 10. Paul has written an intensely personal epistle talking about his ministry, his life, and his calling and his authority. And then he comes to this section where he describes very clearly spiritual warfare. Verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you," so he's pleaded in verse 1, now he is begging in verse 2, "that when I am present I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh," though we're human, he's not talking about in sin, he's talking about though we walk in the flesh, we're human, "we do not war according to the flesh." Now remember, Paul has already said that there are no civilian Christians. Remember, we have, I don't know how many, what, a million or more soldiers in America, or maybe more than that? And the rest of us are civilians. We don't have to do all that. Every Christian is enlisted. Every Christian is to be a good soldier. Every Christian is to wear the armor. There are no civilian bystanders, peacetime folks that stay comfortably at home. All of us have been deployed to the front line. That's the idea of this passage. Verse 3, "we walk in the flesh, we do not war." So don't dispose of that verse saying, "I'm not in the army." You are if you're saved. You might not wear your armor and you might be totally defeated, but you're in the war. And he says, watch out. "For we do not war," the end of verse 3, "according to the flesh." We don't war humanly. We don't war in human methods or human strength or human weaponry. Verse 4. "For all of us soldiers of Jesus Christ." Verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not human. They're not fleshly. They're not of our own strength or device. Continuing with verse 4. "But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Interesting word. It's like castles and bastions and high places. So he says that we're going through life and there are these spiritual warfares going on that most people aren't even aware of. But look at verse 5. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought." Now, for just a moment, he's just described for us the fact that spiritual warfare is in the realm of the mind. You notice that he starts out by talking about verse 5, arguments, high things, and then he says bringing every thought into captivity. The realm of spiritual warfare is in our mind. That's the interface between the physical world and the spiritual world. It is the meeting place between us and God and us and everything else that's out there that God has revealed to us. So he says, watch out. We need to, the end of verse 5, bring our Sunday thoughts. No, bring our thoughts during church. No, bringing our thoughts on Sunday and Wednesday or at Bible study. No. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Watch out. Unseen, but very dangerous spiritual forces are out there latching on to every part of our life that's not under the captivity of Jesus Christ. I'd like to go through a little process before we dive into many verses. I want to just do a little kind of like if you went to your doctor for your annual physical and he just asked you those series of questions. When you get as old as me, they ask you more and more questions. Have you had the one yet where they have you close your eyes and he wants to see how still you can stand? They can tell how old you're getting because when your eyes are closed, you lose that reflex to stand still. I mean, it's terrible questions they ask you, but I'm not doing the physical exam. Let's do a spiritual exam. And I would like to ask you a set of questions, a spiritual checkup, how God has revealed Satan and all that implies in his attacks against us. And I'm going to go through the dozen or so ways that Satan is constantly attacking us. And I want you in your mind, don't think about someone else. Just check off in your mind whether or not he is at work in that area. Because if he's not in that sector, he's over here in another sector. So if you listen to all of them, you're going to find some place that he is devouring or trying to devour each one of us. as he works against us as believers. Number one, the Bible reveals that Satan is the father of lies. It says that he is a liar and there's no truth in him. Remember John 8:44. So Satan, the father of lies, wants to snatch the word of God from your mind. Last week on Monday, I spoke to a little 9 graduating seniors in a little class in an area school. And on the way home, I prayed earnestly that Satan would not snatch the word that I was able to give out of the hearts of those young people. At another time this week, I shared the gospel message with someone. And as I left, I prayed that God would guard them and keep Satan from snatching, and his demons from snatching, the word of God from their mind. Satan, the father of lies, is constantly wanting to snatch the word of God from your mind. Do you ever leave a tremendous Bible study or a tremendous gathering of God's people or church service or something like that, and you go home and you can't even remember? You don't even remember what it was that you were supposed to remember about the Lord from that gathering. Do you ever leave the time of reading God's word and you can't even remember what you read? Do you think that you have a mental deficiency? Well, some of us do. But you know what? There's a far greater dimension to that. Satan, the father of lies, Jesus clearly said all the way through his gospel parables, comes and snatches away the word. And he wants to do that in our lives. That's a way he devours us. He distracts us. He makes something else come to the front of our mind. He has, as the great commentator and theological writer Charles Hodge once said, Satan has great powers of influence over our minds, far more than most Christians want to even admit. Satan has the most powerful mind in the universe, created mind. And he can use that mind on ours to snatch God's word. So here's a little test. Do the pursuits and activities you have chosen help Satan snatch the word from your mind? Is it hard to read the Bible after you watch certain movies? Think about it. Do you go into kind of a spiritual coldness, kind of like a nirvana after you get out of certain movies or tapes that you watch or shows that you watch? Is your music collection becoming more precious than your Bible? You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And I know a lot of people that live by music and not the word. Is your music collection more important to you than your Bible? Do you seem to never get anything out of the Bible or church anymore? That is Satan, the father of lies, snatching God's word from your mind. Remember Uncle Screwtape told Nephew Screwtape? It's just the little things that cumulatively distance us from the light. Satan wants to get you detached from the word of God. God's word will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from God's word. And he wants to get us snatched from God's word being in our hearts. Number two, Satan, the evil one. That's how, remember Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer said, and deliver us from evil. And if you look down, if you have a New American Standard Bible, they have a nice little number right next to evil, and it says evil one. Jesus is saying, deliver us from the evil one. Not just evil in general, but the personification of evil, the evil one. Satan, the evil one, wants you to think little by little that sin is not so bad as you thought it was. Now I ask you, do the movies you watch, the TV shows you watch, the music that you, music videos you watch and listen to, the web explorations you make, and the books and magazines you read, do those make you think little by little that sin isn't as bad as you thought it was? If so, that is Satan, the evil one, using all those things I mentioned to tamper with your thinking, because he wants you to think little by little that sin isn't as bad as you used to think it was. Thirdly, Satan, the unholy one. That's what he's called in 1 John 2:13. It says the wicked one, the one who is the antithesis of the holiness of God. Satan, the unholy one, wants you to slowly learn to laugh at sin. You know, you're already starting to think, gradually, it's not as bad as you thought. Then he just swoops in and he wants us to learn to be entertained and laugh at sin. And as we slowly learn to laugh at sin on television and in the movies, we learn to laugh at shows and movies where there is sexual innuendo. And at the instant, it's funny. And then afterward, you go, you know, that really wasn't funny, was it? But that's Satan's plan, to make us laugh at what our absolutely holy God and his righteous standards, as they're mocked in our media, we, if not careful, begin to slowly laugh and be amused by sin. As it becomes so clear that Satan, the unholy one, is teaching us to laugh at sin. Thank you.